a chance to present to you God's message. I consider it to be a wonderful opportunity to share with you what God has in store in his word for us. I want to thank Brother Carter and the brothers and everyone who has joined us for our worship this morning. I know some of you are in state, some of you are out of state, some of you are outside of the country, but we are honored to have you nevertheless. Before we begin, let us go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Father, to feast on your word once again. Indeed, Father, we recognize daily that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, Father, we cannot live without your holy divine word. Help us to have an insatiable appetite for it. Help us to hunger after it as we seek, Father, to do nothing but to please you and to give you our entire lives. Bless this message, I pray, and may our hearts be encouraged as you speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the Son's name that I pray. Amen. Whether you like changes or not, if there's one thing that we know for sure is that this virus, COVID-19, has caused major upheavals worldwide. How we travel has changed. How we shop has changed. How we socialize and all just about every aspect of our lives has been changed by COVID-19. Never has this generation experienced such a dramatic change. Never. Look at the various changes, at least some of them. Masks are now required, at least in most states. We think of the fact that we are encouraged to social distance. We are encouraged to practice good hygiene. And we do these things not just to protect ourselves, but we do these things to protect others. And yet still you do have some who are rebelling against these necessary changes. But I can say to us that we better get used to this, at least for the foreseeable future, because this is going to be the new norm going forward. In other words, what I'm saying is that changes, as much as we tend to resist them, will be a part of our lives for the next several years. But we think of technology. You know, our lives have been changed by technology. The car has replaced the horse. We know that. Computers have replaced typewriters. GPS has replaced your map, your hard copy. Processed foods and microwaves have now replaced cooking in the kitchen for many people. Smartphones are replacing calculators and cameras and computers to some extent, and recording videos, etc., and diaries. In other words, technology has rapidly transformed our lives. I remember hearing some people years ago complaining that they would never change from their diary or would never change from their typewriter. But because of how the world has changed, we have had to change with the world. Rapid changes are taking place, whether we like it or not. Even in the church, sadly speaking, there is a wind of change blowing through the Church of Jesus Christ. So now there are churches that are no longer satisfied with pure a cappella music, but they'd rather sing and sing while beatboxing or clapping or mimicking, no longer just a pure singing as we have been commanded in scriptures. Preaching has become more of a theatrical performance for many, a kind of entertainment for the audience, more like pandering to the crowd. In other words, even the Church of Christ is experiencing a level of change, even the way how we dress, In other words, nothing is immune to change right now. Nothing. What we see today perhaps will not be around for tomorrow. That's where we are at. But even though we live in a changing world, even though our lives are being affected in various ways, the way how we worship, the way how we study and all these things, we can be assured, however, that the God that we worship never changes. We can be assured of that. And the passage that Brother Julian Rice read for us underscores that very point. You know, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, in whom there is no shadow or variation of turning. In other words, what it is saying, James is comparing God to the sun. You see, the sun never shines on the earth all at once, every section of the earth. It doesn't do that. Not only that, but the sun changes at times. In other words, it crosses lines, it crosses countries. You know, that's what the sun does. It goes further south. If you're standing in the sun, your shadow will be at one angle, but in a matter of minutes, your shadow can be from a different angle because of the rays of the sun. In other words, because of the sun, many things change, including the seasons that we have each year. But the Bible is saying that even though the sun does that, in our Father, there is no shadow or variation of turning. In other words, he doesn't change. And what a joy it is to know that in this time when we get dizzy because of the amount of changes that are taking place, we can be assured that the Almighty God, he never changes. And there are some important facts to keep in mind as to why we should be rejoicing that our God does not change. So this morning I want to speak to you on the subject, our unchangeable God. Our unchangeable God. Firstly, we look at the character of our God. The character of God doesn't change. It does not change one iota. What I'm trying to say is that God, for example, is infinite in all his attributes. We think, for example, of the fact that God is not a little of anything. You know, we all need to improve when it comes to love. We all need to get better when it comes to being holy. God is not 70% holy. He's not 70% loving. He's 100% loving, 100% merciful. That's the God we serve. And in 1 John chapter 4, and verse 8, John tells us, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love, he says. In 1 Peter 1 verse 16, Peter says, be holy. This is God speaking through Peter. Be holy because I am holy. In other words, the God that we serve is 100% loving and 100% holy. He doesn't need to change. He doesn't need to improve and get better because God is the epitome of love and of holiness. And so when I say he's infinite, I mean that there is nothing that needs to be improved where the Almighty God is concerned. There is no room for improvement. Certainly, God will not diminish. In other words, God doesn't get weaker. He doesn't get weak, nor does he get weaker. Man does. We get weak. And that is why we need to constantly pray and ask God for strength. But our God does not get weak with age or with time. And therefore, that means only God himself who does not change. God does not change. The heavens change. The mountains change. People change. But what about God himself? He will always be who he is because God is perfect. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, for I, the Lord your God, do not change. That's what God says. I don't change. The God of the Old Testament is the same God we find in the New Testament. He doesn't change. Yes, the law changed from the old law to the new law, but God is the same God. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Hebrew writer says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't change. James 1 verse 17. James 1 verse 17, James says, again, the same passage that the brother read, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, or shifting shadow. Does not change at all. I am saying that while we are trying to grapple and keep up with all the changes taking place around us, we can rest assured that we can hold on to the unchanging hand of God. Isn't that wonderful? So with some people, they say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. But what a blessing it is to know that when God says something, he means what he says and he says what he means. Secondly, we look at the standards of God, and the standards of God never change. Never change. The standards of God never change. If something was ever a sin where God is concerned, guess what? It will always be a sin. In other words, God never changed his definition of what is right and what is wrong. Never needs to update his definition. The culture in which we live, we see a constant redefining of what is right and wrong. What was wrong years ago has now become acceptable. And we use all kinds of euphemistic terms to describe things that were wrong years ago to not so wrong today. We say, well, you know, we have become more tolerant as a society. We need to be more tolerant. But with God, remember this, the God we serve, what he declared as wrong years ago, centuries ago, even today, it is still wrong. That's the God that we serve. Which means that if something was ever right back then, it will always be right, because God does not change the rules. He doesn't. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, Woe to those, he says, who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, he says. Woe to those people, he says. And brethren, this is something that we have got to keep in mind. The Almighty God says, woe to these people. Oh, in the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus says, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. What a deception that is. How we deceive ourselves in thinking that we have the light, when in truth and in fact we are in darkness. We think that we have the right, that the truth, when in fact we have that which is false. So Jesus Christ says, be careful. Because when you think you have the light in you, you're really in darkness. And that's because God is saying he doesn't change. Culture changes. Man's definitions change. But God himself never, ever change. Wrong has always been wrong. It was wrong to murder then, when Abel killed his brother, or Cain killed his brother. It is wrong to murder today. That doesn't change. Unfaithfulness was wrong then. It is just as wrong today. Immorality was wrong then. It is just as wrong today. Forget about what the society is saying. Dishonesty was wrong then. It is just as wrong today. I'm not saying that. That is what our unchangeable God is saying. It was wrong to disrespect then, and it is just as wrong to do that today. In other words, God's standard of right and wrong remain the same. What about his standard of love? You know that God's standard of love has always been the same. You know that as human beings, we tend to love others based on who they are, what they can do for us or have done for us. That's how we love folks. That's how we are inclined to love people. If you can help me, then I can love you. Yet, God has always loved man as his crowning creation, regardless of who the person is. Regardless. And just stop for a moment, my friend, and think about this. What a different world this would be if we loved as God loves. What a different world. Because this would mean so much for us. It would become far easier to forgive somebody who has hurt us. Because we hurt God on a daily basis by sinning, yet still God forgives us on a daily basis. If we loved as he loves, forgiveness would not be so difficult. If we loved as he loves, it would be far easier to show mercy and harder to be condemnatory in our remarks. If we loved as God loves, my friend, do you think we would find it difficult to treat others with respect? No, I don't think so. Do you think we would find it difficult to treat each other with equality and equity and justice? I don't think so. Because if we loved as he loves, we would not look down on anyone, regardless of their ethnicity or socioeconomic background, etc. We would not do those things because we are loving as he loves. But we change. That's the problem with us. We change. We can love somebody today and then tomorrow we hate them. You know, there's a song that Tina Turner sang years ago. There's a thin line between love and hate. Thin line. You cannot be guaranteed love by anyone today because the arms of flesh will fail you. And you dare not trust your own. This is important, brethren. But I'm saying that life would be so much easier if we look to the Almighty God for the way in which we ought to love. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We think this is the way to go, but I want to encourage us, brethren, always look to God through the scriptures as to how we ought to love somebody. We don't look to Hollywood. We don't look to the entertainment world. We don't look to politics. Oh, we don't even look to our preachers and fellow members. We look to the Almighty God and his word as to how we ought to love. Because God's standard of love is perfect and never needs updating. Never needs it. You know, in 1 John 4 verse 8, 1 John 4 verse 8, John says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. I know with all that is happening in our society, yes, there's COVID, but what has made matters worse is that the wounds of this country are being opened up once again to reveal many of those who really don't love as they ought to. And Christians, we must be the leaders and the trailblazers in loving people. We may not love how they live. We may not love the kind of things they do. But because God loves us, not because of what we do, but because of who we are, then likewise we must do the same. In other words, to put it another way, we love the sinner, but hate the sin. And thirdly this morning, you know, we serve an unchangeable God. We serve an unchangeable God. Because God's will for our lives never changes. His will for man never ever changes. He has always desired us to have a loving relationship with him. That's why he made us. He created us so that we would serve him. I remember back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the writer says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, the duty of man is to serve God. That is God's will for our lives. So in order to show our love to the Almighty God, and the Jews back then, under the old law of Moses, the Jews were supposed to love God. And God made that clear in the scriptures. God's desire for the Jews was for them to love him. Because when you love God, then you will not find it difficult to do the things that God has required. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter and verse 5, listen what it says in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words thundered from the Almighty God under the Old Testament system as Moses gave the law to the Israelites. Oh, Jesus taught the very same thing back in Matthew 22 and verse 37. He pretty much repeated what was said in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. To show that this is what God requires of us. So he required of us back then under the old law. Under the new law, guess what? God is still requiring us to love him with every being and fiber of our body. God has always desired also that man repent of his sins. He says, serving God is not a come as you are party. We have got to be willing to repent of our sins. That when you are falling into sin, that you no longer allow yourself to get comfortable. One of the blessings that Christians have is the blessing of going to God with a penitent and contrite heart and ask God for forgiveness. That's one of the blessings we have as Christians. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Christian no longer lives a sinful life. He no longer lives in sin. But as a matter of fact, what he does, he strives to live a sinless life. Throughout the Holy Scriptures, we find God warning people to change their lives. We can't keep on living as we are because we will lose our souls. So God requires us to repent and change how we're living. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32, Ezekiel 18, 32, God says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. What's the flip side of that? If you don't repent, you're going to die. So that was what God required back then under the old law. Has he changed? Has that changed? Is he now piggybacking or going back on his word? Is he doing that? No. What we find is that God is doubling down on his word. He's saying that we must repent likewise today. In Luke chapter, we found that in Luke chapter 13, verse 5. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is an important ingredient in serving the Almighty God. There's not a day that passes that the Christian does not need to get up and say, Lord, I repent for what I've said and for what I've done or for what I had in my mind or thoughts. I repent. Not a single day. Jesus himself taught us that when one sinner repents, guess what happens? The whole heavenly host rejoices. The entire heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. In Luke 15 verse 10, we know the story. In Luke 15 verse 10, after the lost sheep was found, You know the story. And the lost coin and the prodigal son returning. All these have to do with a child of God who has rebelled and was lost and is now returning to the fold. And in verse 10, the Bible says of Luke 15, in the same manner, I tell you, just like the prodigal son, just like the lost sheep, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We can't serve God unless repentance and repenting is an important part of our lives. I want you to know, my friend, that God is patiently and eagerly looking forward to you, a sinner. If you have never given a life to Jesus Christ, He is looking forward to you repenting, having heard this message, repenting of your sins. Eagerly. Because it is not God's wish for any to die. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, is not what Peter said? Peter said, listen, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. Isn't that wonderful? Who is saying these words? These words are coming from our unchangeable God. That you may have messed up, but even though you have messed up, God is not finished with you yet. And if you're willing to repent, having believed the message of God, and you're willing to confess that He is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then, my friend, the great news is that God will welcome you into the fold. So while we're trying to grapple with all the changes taking place around us, while we're getting confused and dizzy because if it's not one thing, it's another, it is so refreshing to know that our God stands firm in terms of His definition of what is right and wrong, in terms of His will for our lives, that God does not change. And what He said yesterday, He's saying it to you today again. That's the God we serve. And that is why you can trust Him. If you're not a child of God, you can become a Christian even today. I'm happy to tell you that you can even send me a text or give me a call and say, Brother Upster, I want to become a Christian. And we'll make the arrangements today. As a matter of fact, I'm happy to tell you that we'll have a baptism today, later on this evening. We'll be going to a congregation, a building, and we'll be baptizing someone who was studying.